Well, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Leviticus, and this is chapter 9. And I'm going to ask the Lord to bless or to anoint this, chapter 9 with his anointing spirit on it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless this service. Now, the job of the priest, Lord, this particular chapter has to do with the priests begin their work. Now, a nation of priests are those that minister to the congregation. And, Lord, I pray that you'll really quicken these words, that you'll anoint them so that the people in the church will know how far away from you they are. Because I asked several people if they know any sister in the church that would read the Bible or minister to the congregation, and not anyone could come up with anyone except a couple of heretic girls that are just, their minds are shot from too much sin in their former lives. And this is the job of the priests. What good is it, Father, if you've made us priests, if we're not ministering priests? This chapter, again, is for the priests to begin their work. And if you've filled people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have the power within us. And if they really, truly do have the power of you in them, your spirit will want to minister to the new brothers and sisters that come into the church. But yet they won't. And I, Lord, got a message here that the Lucette Carson hasn't read the Bible once with the old baby Christian that I gave her. And who was the other sister?
Brenda Jordan
doesn't do it, so I know that they're not priests. They're not even close to being a priest. And then there's others that said all they do is come in and just check on her. I would like, Lord, you've been moving on me to tell people how it really is at this church. In the beginning, people stayed in groups and they read the Bible for like hours a day. And this was the thing that weeded people out of this church, because those that really are not sincere with the Lord, they are very much offended at reading and praying. And a real young baby Christian, I mean, that are really on fire for the Lord, they love to read and pray. And there's not even people that will pray for 15 minutes or read for 15 minutes with them. Now, when people come into the church just to visit, it's wrong to read to them more than 15 minutes to a half hour, because that is maybe too long. They're not even saved, and you're going to run them off. But, Father, when a baby person really gets saved, they want to read and pray, and they'd be glad to do it almost all day long. And so, if there's not going to be priests in this church, then they won't be of any value in this church. And they'll have to make other arrangements. They have to go into some other ministry. They keep searching for souls outside the church, and then when they come in, they make them tenfold worse of a devil than they themselves are, because they say they're priests and born-again Christians, but they don't at all minister to the congregation. And these testimonials in the Old Testament, and especially here in chapter 9 of Leviticus, tells of how the priests began their work. And that's ministering to the congregation. And also, the people in the church are going to have to teach respect for dignities in the Lord. One of them called up over here, this Tiffany Renfro, and says, "Is Tony there?" She's to address me as either Pastor Alamo or Mr. Alamo, not as Tony. Now realize that she's made some poor choices in her life. And she's doesn't sound like she's had much of an upbringing. And it's supposed to be the priest's job to teach them some manners and some respect for dignitaries that God has called to be over them. Then she says, "Did you tell people that you're to be, that I'm supposed to, they're supposed to be in my house?" All you people that are supposed to be priests, it's always baby Christians are not supposed to move from the side of their older Christian for months while they're in this church. And that's the same rule. Now, it's been from the beginning and it's still the same way today. And if you don't like those rules, I am not going to be the pastor over a church where you all just playing house and taking care of kids and that you're just shining on the Lord, that you're not going to take charge of these baby Christians that come in. Now, they have to have an older Christian by their side all the time. And she said, "Did you say that they had to be in my house?" I said, "Let's get something straight here. That isn't your house. By the power of God that has been vested in me, I happen to be just letting you, so long as you have respect for the house of the Lord, I'm just, you know, you're just barely able to stay there, and you're not going to be there that much longer if you continue on with this conversation, because you're not going to call me on the carpet. And if there was something wrong that these older Christians are not taking care of you," and she said they're not, "then you're to call me, and I'll do something about it, as I am right this minute." You see, I minister to the congregation, not only to the world, but I minister to you people every day, because I'm a real priest of the Lord. And if you're not going to be a real priest, then you ought to find some other place to go to pretend that you're a Christian, that too, so you can pretend Christianity. But I see you. Your speech and your deeds betray you. You're easily detected. You've got bad dispositions. And when it comes to the devil, I've got a real bad disposition. And I'll throw you out like an old alley cat, because that's what you are. And so, Father, quicken these scriptures unto this bunch of rebels, people that think that they're somebody and they're not. And if they don't do it, Lord, bring it to my attention so I can do something about it. Just lead, guide, and direct me, Lord, onto what to do with them, because if they don't do the work of the Lord, they're not supposed to eat. And you never called them to worship their babies or to love their baby with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we're to serve you and love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not our children or anyone else. Shall have no other God before us. Now God, people are still trying to figure out what God wants us to do. He wants you to be a priest, and that means that you must minister to the congregation the things that you know, to read to the people and to play my tapes to the people. And if you're incapable of doing that, well, then I want you to just pack up and leave. And I want you to do it right away at the hearing of this tape. I do not want you here any longer, because you people throw souls. You do that. You're experts at that. You do not feed the sheep. Many of you have fleeced them. People come in here with credit cards, and you like to use their credit cards. And you buddy up to them because they've got something that you don't have. And that's about it. You're users, not givers. So Lord, bless this, anoint this message, and Lord, we all know that these priests are symbolic of the priesthood in the Bible, in the New Testament, and that's what we are. And if they're not going to be priests, then I know what I'm supposed to do, and that's why I'm letting them know what they're supposed to do. Pack up and leave. All right, so, Lord, we ask that you convict them of their non-service to you and to the congregation in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, come against these devils that are in this church that keep throwing souls in the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, and do something to them, Lord, if they will not move out. If they don't, I will have them moved out, all right, as I know what they're, when I find out what they're doing. But, Lord, do something to them. Bind them, Lord, here on earth. I bind them on earth. And, Lord, you give the increase. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Leviticus chapter 9. The priests begin their work.
Yeah, when are you people going to begin priest work? Okay, go.
King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish.
In other words, teach these people about Jesus. This is the foreshadowing or the shadow or figure or type of or symbol of the Lord that's going to come, and teach this to the congregation. That's around, could be up to 3 million people. And you people don't do that to even one person, so that makes me know that you're an evil person taking up a space in this church that could be used by somebody that really wants to minister. Okay, then what?
Take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish.
All symbolic of preaching the gospel. Then what?
And offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying,
offer your life to the Lord as a priest to start teaching in the congregation. Minister to the children of the New Jerusalem. Because they're not growing in the Lord, they're not winning souls, and they're falling away like flies. Then what?
Take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering.
Right, teach them that the Lord is going to be in a human body and will not sin while he lives. Okay, go ahead.
Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation.
Okay, before the tabernacle of the whole congregation. Okay, but what do you people do before the tabernacle of the whole congregation? Nothing. There's not one person. I mean, there's one person that falls away after the other. There was one that called me yesterday and said, you people never even taught him the Bible. It's just your terrible testimonies. Go ahead.
And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord.
See, the whole congregation, Moses and Aaron and his sons, made sure that the whole congregation was there. They didn't let people hole up in their tents and stay in there and take care of babies and so on. Says the entire congregation came there because these priests made them do it, because these are priests, real priests of the Lord. And don't say you're a priest of God or that you're even saved, because you're breaking the main commandments that the Lord has called you to do, and that is to minister to the congregation. And we get new souls in here, and there's not even one of you that are cut or convicted for letting them fall away. They're saying that none of you people are reading with them. This Carson girl and Brenda Jordan haven't even read the Bible to this woman, this Tiffany Renfro, once.
And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do. and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, Go unto the altar, and offer thy sin offering, and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people.
Okay, so, in other words, you have to get your sins forgiven before you can go into the most holy place and give up a sin offering for the people, the whole congregation, these 1.5 to 3 million people. You have to be concerned about the congregation. And you people have gotten so far away from the Lord that you think that that's Mickey Mouse. And you're doing all sorts of things that you think are more important than that. And that's what the whole work of the Lord is about, is to minister to the saints, to the congregation, to the saints, so that they will be armed and armored with the Lord to be able to minister to new converts that come into the church. And you don't do it. So that means you're guilty as sin. There's sin all over your rotten souls. Okay, keep going.
And offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded.
And he's letting them know that this is for you people, because you're sinners, and we're teaching you that this is the way to take care of sins. Is this is symbolic of God, who's going to come in the flesh. They're preaching the gospel to the congregation, so that they understand that they're sinners and that their sins have to be forgiven. And they didn't have any New Testament scriptures, but they were in the Old Testament here doing what symbolically what the New Testament is going to teach people to do. And yet there's no teachers around. You people think that teaching school is more important than teaching about the Lord. You think that going swimming and taking the kids swimming and taking them on excursions and so on and having parties and things like that is the most important thing. You people are so far away from God. You're not priests. And this scriptures here is warning you that you better be. Because you're not in the Lord, and the Lord is not in you. And you keep slipping away more and more. You're learning the scriptures, but you don't want to teach them. And that's why you figure it's not necessary. I just want to know it for myself. And so you're learning all these things for nothing, and you're more responsible than anybody else because you know you're learning them. You don't even think it's important to remember them. You figure it's to riddled on the table of your heart, but who do you minister to? According to the baby Christians, certainly not to them. They all fall away. Then what?
Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar, and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. Verse 10. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. Translation, verse 1 through 10. The priests begin their work. Verse 1. After the ordination ceremony on the eighth day, Moses called together Aaron and his sons and the leaders of Israel. Verse 2. And he said to Aaron, quote, Take a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a whole burnt offering, both with no physical defects, and present them to the Lord. Verse 3. Then tell the Israelites to take a male goat for a sin offering for themselves, and a year-old calf and a year-old lamb for a whole burnt offering, each with no physical defects. Verse 4. Also tell them to take a bull and a ram for a peace offering, and flour mixed with olive oil for a grain offering, Tell them to present all these offerings to the Lord, because the Lord will appear to them today. Unquote. Verse 5. So the people brought all of these things to the entrance of the tabernacle, just as Moses had commanded. And the whole community came and stood there in the Lord's presence.
Right, and the priests are going to minister unto the entire congregation. And then there was 70 elders that they could bring their troubles to, and they would minister because God gave them the same spirit that was on Moses to take care of the smaller matters. And so they became priests as well. Not in the same capacity as Aaron and his sons, but they were ministering unto the congregation. Because it's important that the congregation gets ministered to. Otherwise they fall away, especially the new babes in the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Translation, verse 6. Then Moses told them, quote, "When you have followed these instructions from the Lord, the glorious presence of the Lord will appear to you." Unquote. Verse 7. Then Moses said to Aaron, quote, "Approach the altar and present your sin offering and your whole burnt offering to make atonement for yourself. Then present the offerings to make atonement for the people, just as the Lord has commanded." Unquote.
For the people, that's the whole congregation. No, there's no way that the congregation can be fused together with joints and bands by the Spirit if you're not ministering one unto the other, if you're not priests one to another. You think that the main thing is to just go out and win souls. But when you bring the souls in, they see how lame you are, that you're not priests, that you're out of the Spirit, that you just get up and exhort yourself on the platform. And then you get down and you get into your true character. You don't stay in the Spirit to minister to one another. You're not priests. And so this is the big thing that the Lord is honing in on. This has been happening for years. And the church is not growing because of you. And if you don't start doing this, then it's you're a devil. And you have to leave, because the Lord says to measure the people of the church. This is the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. And the measuring rod happens to be the word of the Lord. And so, see if you measure up to the word of God. Are you a priest? Well, if you're not, then what good are you? You're the exact opposite of a priest. You'd like to, a priest. You like to throw souls. You wouldn't give people the time of day from the Bible, or the light of day. And it's obvious that I'm doing that, because I bring a message every day, and many times over per day. I'm constantly ministering. And why? Because I know what the Bible says. And I know that if I don't do what the Bible says, that I too will be a castaway and spend eternity in the same place where a whole lot of you are going to spend eternity, and that's the lake of fire. So what I would say to you is, you better get yourself in gear and start ministering unto the congregation, being a priest to them and showing them what they should do. And if people flare up when you're telling them the right thing to do, then that's the devil, and they need to be reported right away. In other words, there's a lot of people in the church that have the attitude, "I've been here for years and you don't tell me what to do, what the Bible says." Well, that's the devil, in case you didn't know it. As a minister, as a priest, I'm telling you what that is. And if you suffer that devil to be in this church without reporting it, then I want to tell you something else. You're a devil. because you don't report the devil. You love him. That's what you want to keep him around for. Or you know that they have something on you. But the way to do that is just say, I'm reporting this person. I know that this message got to me. And they're going to say things about me, and they're going to be true. But I'm tired of living this way. I'm going to repent. I want to be a priest of the Lord. And you better end this treadmill that you're on right now and be a priest of the Lord, because you have to leave if you don't. You have no choice. I don't want to be a pastor if the people are not going to listen to what the Lord says. I don't want to be your pastor. And this is just cropping up too much for me to be interested in being around you. Okay, and I'm not going to hell to be a pastor of a bunch of demons. Okay, now let's go.
Translation, verse 8. So Aaron went to the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. Verse 9. His sons brought him the blood, and he dipped his finger into it and put it on the horns of the altar. He poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Verse 10. Then he burned on the altar the fat, the kidneys, and the lobe of the liver from the sin offering, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. King James Version, verse 11. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. Verse 12. And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar.
Can you go ahead?
Verse 13. And they presented the burnt offering unto him, with the pieces thereof, and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar.
Yeah, they teach them this is all these different things are pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these people went from Egypt to the Promised Land just real fast. They went there real fast, and they were on the border of the Promised Land. And Moses sent them into the Promised Land to spy it out, these 10 spies. And they came back with an ill report, and it weakened the faith of the people. And so the Lord ordered them to wander about in the wilderness for 40 years. They had to be deprived of getting to the Promised Land. And finally, all of them fell except Moses and Caleb and Joshua. And even Moses at the last fell. Just Caleb and Joshua were able to enter into the Promised Land. Moses got to take a look at it from the mount. But they were there already. They were at the Promised Land. Amen?
Amen.
They were real fast. And while they were getting there, the Lord's telling them all these things, because they were getting there so fast, and not to plant, teaching them how to plant and what to do, and that they had to keep doing these type of things. And they wouldn't have had to eat that manna all those years on the desert. And that's what a lot of people are just wandering in the wilderness, because they never come to the knowledge of the truth. They're ever learning, but not ever coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so it's going to take you forever to get to the Promised Land, and many of you will not make it. The majority, the Bible says, will not make it. And so it's a good thing to be reading the Old Testament, because it shows you the way that you're supposed to be. And the New Testament tells us that we're a nation of kings and priests. And you're not a king. You're not a priest. You're not anointed. What do you think the Lord is anointing you for? It's to minister to the congregation, to be a priest towards the congregation. And it's an automatic thing when people see that brothers and sisters love one another, that they will draw people in. They'll know that you love one another because of the fact that they see you ministering one to another, and that they see you taking young Christians under your wing when you come in. But any of you, give me, any of you in the church can give me a priest's name that I can put. Young Christians, though, that are absolute priests in this church. Just name them. The people here can't. Maybe you can. Give me a name. Are you one of them? Or are you a devil too? Well, we're busy painting, or we're busy doing... That isn't what the Lord called people to do. That you got to do for sure. But he called you to be a minister. I do all kinds of things too. I do business and all kinds of things. But I minister to the congregation. I am a priest to you people. And you have to be one too. Because Jesus was, and he says, you have to follow me. You have to be like me. And all these people in the Old Testament are our examples as what we are to be. And if you don't want to be it, that just shows you don't want to be in heaven. Okay, keep going.
Verse 14. And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. Verse 15. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it.
For the people. He did this right in front of the whole congregation. He's teaching them, you know, how horrible it is that they sinned, because this goat has to die. These animals are having to die because of their sins. And they should be thankful that God has provided a way for their sins to be forgiven by killing somebody. Somebody has to die to get rid of your sins. But the book of Hebrews tells us that bulls and goats and all these animals cannot take away your sins any longer, because the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And people were not convicted about killing an animal, but now people should be convicted about Christ having to die for our sins, because he was sinless, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. And so, if you're cut to your heart, then he says, in order to get into heaven, you have to be like me, a priest. Now, I made you, I want to a nation of priests. And if you're not going to be a priest, then you're none of mine. If you're not a king to rule as I ruled as a priest, then you're none of mine. You don't belong to me. Now, I love those that keep my commandments. A person that says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, they're not going to be priests or kings, or they're not going to think that it's a high office, a dignified office, to where they just want to have fun and games during the day, or they're just going to play, or think that they've been called to type, or to be a janitor, to pick up around the house, to be a mechanic, to be a driver, to be a printer, and that you don't have to be a priest. You are reading the wrong Bible. I don't know what you're reading, but there isn't anything at all. You don't even know what the Bible says. And that's why the Lord told me to read the Bible to you, because you all acted like you knew the Bible. And you acted as though you didn't think I knew it. And I was vexed, and I told the Lord, I said, these people are not training baby Christians. He said, well, then you train them. You read to them and explain the Bible to them. And so that's why I'm doing it. And this, I'm into the fourth book of the Bible now. However, I've done several books in the New Testament and some of them in the Old Testament. I've done the book of Joel and the book of Song of Solomon. And I've done some other scriptures too. But I intend to go through the entire Old Testament and then the New Testament as well. And I've done several books in the New Testament. But if you don't know who you are or what you're supposed to be doing, then what are you? You're nothing. You're vegetables. Now you have to be concerned about other people's souls, about the body of Christ. You have to be joined to one another. You have to be helping one another, uplifting somebody. There's people that call me and or they write to me or email me, and they're in trouble, and I help them. I don't just send, like if somebody, their little boy died the other day, he's 11 years old. He fell in the river, and the dad jumped in the river too. One of the other boys jumped in there, fell in the river too. And one of them was able to get back up on the bank. The other one, the dad jumped in to try to rescue him, 11 years old. But the current was so fast that the father couldn't swim fast enough to get him. And the next day, the authorities found his dead body on the side of the bank. And so somebody faxed that in to me and told me it was a Baptist pastor, and asked me if I would send him a card or something of condolences. And so I sent a card, but that isn't enough. What I did is the Lord told me to put a payment in there for to help with the funeral, because everybody can send a card. That's garbage. But this man, they were canoeing, and most people that canoe, they don't have a lot of money. And they stopped on a little island in the middle of the river, not having much sense about rivers and things. And they went over to get some polywogs or something down by the, and the two boys fell in. And so I got the card. It was a very good, Steve Johnson went and got the card. I told him to do it because I knew he had a son. He has sons. And I know how he would feel if, because I've seen the compassion that he has for his sons. And so I wanted him to get the card. I didn't want to just call up some airhead in the church and have them go and get a card for this man. And I had him read four of them to me on the phone, and I selected the right one, and then I wrote some words also, dictated some words to Steve Johnson to put on the card. And we're enclosing $1,000 bill, $1,000 check to help with the funeral, because it's bad enough if you're poor, and it's tragic if you lose a son on top of it, and then it's even very much tragic if there isn't a word of encouragement to tell him that the boy, if you could see his face, how happy and full of joy he is in the kingdom of heaven right now, you would never wish him to be here again. And here's something for the funeral, to help with the funeral. Because a lot of pastors don't have hardly any money at all. Now that's more than a card, because that's really uplifting in a time of tragedy. To lose your son and you don't have enough money to even bury him. Don't you think that's sad?
Yes.
Okay, so people don't realize, the Lord told me to minister to this member of the congregation. The people that are of the Lord are not just of our congregation here. There are Christians all over the world, and I have to be concerned about them. And if you're a priest, you'll be concerned about them as well. Now, the Lord never has told me to do that before, but I just did what the Lord told me. I said, how much? And I said, $1,000? Yes. More than $1,000? No. Less than $1,000? No. $1,000? Yes. And so that's what we're sending, to help with the funeral. And we're also sending flowers. All right, that's ministering. Amen?
Amen.
That is like a priest. And there's many other things that I do that are diverse, in diverse ways that the Lord tells me to do it, because I realize that the Lord is depending on me to feed this congregation the Word, to be a priest to this congregation. And all of us are to be priests in this congregation, one to another, and not just this congregation, but to whoever the Lord presents to us, to help them out. Most of you people may not have a son, but it was his only son. He has a couple of daughters, but this was his only son, 11-year-old son. And he had him out on a canoe with one of his little friends. And I wanted to do something for him. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't take the credit for it, because before I was saved, I wouldn't have done that at all. I thank God, and everyone should thank God, that he's good and tells me. And he would, if you were concerned about being a priest, he'd tell you to do nice things for people, too, that would lift them up in a time of tragedy, at a time of need. But what good is your life if you don't take care of people that the Lord died for? Okay, let's continue on.
Part of verse 15.
And do you think the Lord's not going to send that back a hundredfold?
Yeah.
Every time I do something like that, you can't outgive God. God says he'll give it back 100 times. That means we're going to get $100,000. That's why I'm always searching for stuff, not for the money. But we have a lot of people that we feed, clothe, and house, and I do it because the Lord wants me to do it, not because of the money. But this will yield $100,000, a hundredfold. And for anyone that also supports this work, whatever they give, they're going to get a hundredfold back. Or any work of the Lord. I'm not saying ours is the only one. There are some here and there all over the world. Okay, let's go.
Verse 15. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it, and offered it for sin as the first. Verse 16. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner. Verse 17. And he brought the meat offering and took an handful thereof and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. Verse 18, he slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people.
And okay, this again is in front of the whole congregation standing there, and he says, now this is for you people. I'm ministering this for your sins. He's telling the people, he's communicating to the people what the Lord is telling him to do. And you don't do that. You don't read. The Lord wants you to communicate the word of God to people, and for them to be able to see you ministering and rebuking people and reproving them and helping them when you see them down. Not to laugh and be joyful when somebody falls, or laugh at people when they're falling or where they're not really, they haven't received the things from the Lord and they do crazy things. And you just laugh at them instead of ministering to them. The Lord will have his day with you, or me, or anyone else that does things like that. Okay, now let's go into the translation.
Translation, verse 11 through 17. Verse 11, the meat and the hide, however, he burned outside the camp. Verse 12, next Aaron slaughtered the animal for the whole burnt offering. His sons brought him the blood, and he sprinkled it against the sides of the altar. Verse 13, they handed the animal to him piece by piece, including the head, and he burned each part on the altar. Verse 14, then he washed the internal organs and the legs, and also burned them on the altar as a whole burnt offering. Verse 15, next Aaron presented the sacrifices for the people. He slaughtered the people's goat and presented it as their sin offering, just as he had done previously for himself. Verse 16, then he brought the whole burnt offering and presented it in the prescribed way. Verse 17, he also brought the grain offering, burning a handful of the flour on the altar in addition to the regular morning burnt offering. King James Version, verse 18. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. Verse 19. And the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump and that which covereth the inwards, and the kidneys, and the caul above the liver. Verse 20. And they put the fat upon the breasts, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. Translation, verse.
Now, you know, like when Susie passed away, all the Christians, it was advertised all over the, they were ballyhooing that, and people were saying, "Wake up, little Susie, wake up." They were playing that record of the Everly Brothers. I was pulled into court. They didn't give me any time to mourn at all. They pulled me into the Department of Labor Court under Ronald Reagan. And they wanted us, we were out on the streets winning souls to the Lord. Hippies that didn't even have a place to sleep, and we built homes for them. We're feeding them several square meals a day, over three, and buying them clothes and all health foods and all these things. And then the Department of Labor under Ronald Reagan stated that we were to pay them a salary. We had to pay them wages after we win these hippies, broke hippies, off the street. Now, no other church has ever been told to do that before. But Ronald Reagan is a Catholic. He's an Irish Catholic. And the devil goes after every born-again, spirit-filled church, people that are really ministering the word. And not one Christian church offered to, we didn't have a lot of money then either, hardly any. And we had to pay for the funeral, I mean, which, that was no problem with me. I didn't, we never asked people for money. But you'd think that some, and neither has this man asked for any money. He doesn't have to ask for it. I've been through that. And we've got a few bucks now, and I'm going to give him something. Because I know that that would have helped some. It wouldn't have helped my grief any. But it would have taken a burden because I had to pay attorneys to go into court and to Little Rock. And, you know, comfort the congregation at the same time. But there was nobody there to comfort me but the Lord. And that's all I really needed. But I didn't see any priests ministering to me. That's what I'm saying. All over the world, there wasn't any of them. A couple people called up. What's this man that sang "Raindrops Falling on My Head"? Who?
B.J. Thomas.
B.J. Thomas called me, and it was very sincerely a warm, very warm individual, and said, "I'm so sorry, Tony. I'm in a recording session here, and I heard about Susie, and I really, I'm so sad for you." And then also Gary Paxton, who's written a lot of hit songs. He was there all the time. And a lot of songs like that. He sent a plaque. But the government and the news media made everybody to believe that we were multi-billionaires, and we weren't even able to pay our bills. And people believed the news media. And we were telling people the truth. And so, that's on them, though. I don't know how much money this man has or doesn't have. All I know is that the Lord has told me to do that, all right? Mm-hmm. And so people should follow what the Lord says to do. Okay, then go on.
Translation, verse 18. Then Aaron slaughtered the bull and ram for the people's peace offering. His sons brought him the blood, and he sprinkled it against the sides of the altar. Verse 19. Then he took the fat of the bull and the ram from the tail and from around the internal organs, along with the kidneys and lobe of the liver. Verse 20. He placed these fat parts on top of the breasts of these animals, and then burned them on the altar. King James Version, verse 21. And the breasts and the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. Verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. Verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation, and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Verse 24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat.
Well, this was all being ministered, like the priesthood was ministering all this, and the Lord was giving the increase for the whole congregation to see. And when people do keep the commandments, they don't have to be out in the wilderness for 40 years. The Lord starts moving real fast. If those people wouldn't have doubted the Lord Jesus Christ, if they wouldn't have doubted God Almighty, and came back, the spies, and said, they look strong and everything, but we've seen God overturn all the Egyptians. And so we know that God is stronger than them. God would have put them right into the promised land right then, just a few days after they left Egypt. And they're right there at the border. Amen?
Amen.
But they didn't. And people, if you'll do what the Lord says, your journey to the promised land will be a lot quicker. And your journey to have a life and life more abundantly here on earth will be a lot sooner. Just do what the Lord says. Be priests. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Translation.
See, they all saw it. They shouted, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord can make all kinds of moves, you know, for us, and people are so callous that they don't even say, praise the Lord anymore. And hallelujah. I mean, it's thrilling to see God move. Even, you know, even with finances and things like that, they just say, hey, that's nice. You know, that's nice. God, some people just can't be blessed. They get callous. Okay, now we've got, go ahead, commentary.
Translation. Okay, verse 21. Aaron then lifted up the breasts and right thighs as an offering to the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. Verse 22. After that, Aaron raised his hands toward the people and blessed them. Then after presenting the sin offering, the whole burnt offering, and the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar. Verse 23. Next, Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle, and when they came back out, they blessed the people again.
See, they were ministering unto the people. They were being priests unto the people. Amen?
Amen.
When they did what the Lord says, here they see the Shekinah glory come down, the fire of God comes down and burns. So this, what a fantastic sight. Amen?
Amen.
And experience. But people just don't do what the Lord says, and they don't have these experiences. You have to do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Lord called me for, was to do what the Lord said and to teach others. And you can't say that you haven't been taught. All right? Then go ahead.
And the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community.
1.5 million to 3 million people. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 24. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When the people all saw this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground.
All right, now some commentary.
Quote, then Moses said to Aaron, quote, approach the altar and present your sin offering and your whole burnt offering to make atonement for yourself. Then present the offerings to make atonement for the people, just as the Lord has commanded. Unquote. Because Aaron was the high priest, he offered sacrifices to make atonement for his sins and for the sins of the people.
So we have to be without sin in order to be priests. So that's why a lot of people cannot be priests, because they're loaded full of sin and they're not getting rid of it. And they just don't feel that they are called to do that.
The Lord says that only the people that are going to get into the kingdom of heaven can only be those that are priests. It's the kingdom of priests. And so if you're not going to be a priest, then you might as well go out in the world. Okay, he says repent or go to hell. Repent or perish, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you get with it, then what?
But Jesus our Lord, our high priest, did more than offer sacrifices for us. He actually became our sin offering. He made all animal sacrifices obsolete by offering himself on the cross as our perfect and as the perfect sacrifice. By sacrificially giving himself for others, he set a very good and clear example for us to live by.
Right, he gave himself to others as a priesthood and offered himself up as the sacrifice. That's what you have to do, is stop doing what you're doing and sacrifice yourself to the work of the Lord of the priesthood. Amen? Okay, then what?
His example is to lead us to give ourselves to God on behalf of others as a means to their salvation and to their healing and all the enrichment that goes with it. 9 verse 8 through 24. This account of Aaron's sacrifices reflects the actual order in which the various sacrifices were offered by an individual. The sin offering was first, showing the priority of confession and the forsaking of our sins and cleansing from our sins so that God can enter into a clean temple. Following burnt or grain offerings represented worshippers' obedience in giving his or her life over to God. Then the peace offering was an expression of gratitude for a continuing walk with the Lord. Similarly, our first step along the road to maturity in the Lord and forgiveness from sin, forgiveness for our different failures that we did by mistake, not knowing, must be the admission that we are hopeless on our own. The next step is the commitment of our life to God through Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. This is then followed by ongoing fellowship with God, accountability for sin, and spiritual growth. 9 verse 8, quote, "So Aaron went to the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself," unquote. The sin offering, the entire process of the slaughter, the sprinkling of the blood, and the offering of the fat, was described with precision in chapter 4, is here carried out in exact detail by the newly ordained priest Aaron. 9 verse 22, quote, "After that Aaron raised his hands toward the people and blessed them. Then after presenting the sin offering, the whole burnt offering, and the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar," unquote. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people and blessed them. The blessing of Aaron, recited while he stood by the altar, is recorded in Numbers 6:22-27. He would turn to the people, raise his hands, and pronounce the blessing. The people would then respond. The Aaronic blessing is still recited today in the modern synagogue. In the time of Jesus, the people in the temple responded with the blessing, quote, "Blessed be the name of his honor. His kingdom is forever and ever," unquote. 9 verse 24. God's approval was seen in fire that came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering. This miraculous display of God's presence was repeated at Elijah's confirmation with the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings 18:38. Quote, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench," unquote.
Praise the Lord. That was Leviticus chapter 9. And concentrate or think about all these things all day long. Remember who you are. You know, we have to look into the Bible as though it's a mirror. We have to see ourselves doing those things. But a person that is a hearer of the word but not a doer is like a person that looks into the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he is, what he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to do. You people are going to have to start being priests. You can't walk away from this Bible and forget who you're supposed to be and who you are, unless you are a demon. So, let's get with it. Amen?
Amen.
Think about this. Meditate on these things day and night. Keep looking up until chapter 10 in Leviticus. God bless you and praise the Lord.